from Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. The Apostle Paul, whose name was originally Saul before the Lord changed his name to Paul, once breathed threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He would go from city to city looking for anyone belonging to the way in order to bring them bound back to Jerusalem. Saul ravaged the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and had them committed to prison, where he would approve of their execution. We know that he approves of the execution of Stephen, the first adult martyr of the faith. Were you a Christian back then, the stock market probably wasn't your worst fear. It wasn't even around. Neither was an unjust, tyrannical government. After all, Nero was emperor. That's already a reality for you. No, the greatest fear may have been this powerfully well-connected man by the name of Saul, especially if you heard that he was heading to your town, because he was absolutely committed to making the lives of Christians miserable, going from house to house, looking for people just like you, people belonging to the way, the truth, and the life. But upon the road to the next city on his list, Damascus, the Lord Jesus puts an abrupt end to Saul's way. He does this not by appearing to Saul and saying, "Cut it out, Saul. That's enough, Saul. Or, stop it, Saul," like a parent to an unruly child. He doesn't tell him that what he's doing is cruel. He doesn't even tell him that what he's doing is wrong. Rather, Jesus asks a simple, jarring question that pierces the heart of Saul and opens his eyes. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, the one whom you are persecuting." Jesus, by his own divine goodness and mercy, appears to Saul on the road to show him this truth, that in what you are doing to others, you are actually doing to me. For Jesus does not say, "Why are you persecuting my Christian people? Why are you persecuting the church?" He doesn't say, "Why are you persecuting people?" He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" The Lord, the Messiah, the God of Israel. "Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" But how could this be? Saul was throwing people into prison. People, not God, not the Lord, not the Messiah, not the God of Israel. People, people with dirty hands and grimy fingers and sore muscles and short attitudes after a hard day's work. People with homes to run and children to take care of and 100 things to do and never enough time to stop and smell the roses. Real flesh and blood, dirty, overwhelmed, exhausted, sinful people. But not just people, Jesus says. "Why do you persecute me?" The Lord opened Saul's eyes that day to see that when he was dragging Christian people into prison, he was actually dragging the Lord Jesus into prison, the Messiah. When Saul had Christian people bound in chains, when he ridiculed people for their faith in Jesus, he was actually binding the Lord Jesus into chains. He was ridiculing the Christ. Isaiah puts it this way: in all their affliction, he was afflicted. When you're afflicted, Jesus is afflicted with you. When you suffer, Jesus suffers with you. In your affliction, you are not alone. The Lord Jesus is with you. Whoever harms us does not harm us, but the Lord himself. If someone harms the foot, the whole body suffers together, and the head of the body is Christ. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew that whatever people do to the least of these, my brothers, they do it unto me. And he says, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Your afflictions, you see, are Jesus' own afflictions. Your mockery, your wounds, your chains, they are his. He is with you. For we do not have a high priest that is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but in every way has been tempted just as we are, yet without sin. And which afflictions are these? All of them. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. The Lord Jesus suffers with you in every single affliction, small and large, minor and major, seemingly insignificant, and they can't see anything else right now beyond the discomfort because it's two unbearable moments. And every painful second and minute and day, in every agonizing year and decade, the one who created the mountains and the lilies of the field is there in it all. He is in all their affliction. He was afflicted. It is his love and compassion that redeems you, Isaiah sings. The Lord suffers right alongside you, Isaiah sings. All out of his loving devotion and compassion for you, Isaiah sings. And so what is our response to such undying loyalty? Isaiah sings, they rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit. Why is rebellion people's response to God's pure love, to unconditional compassion, to heavenly refuge? Why would one rebel against the one who's in every affliction with them, who binds their very self to them? When they became disloyal, he became their savior. When they were in desperate need, he carried them through and lifted them up in the days of old. Why would anyone rebel against a God like that? Isaiah sings, because they were satisfied. They were content, happy, and all their afflictions healed, and no longer in any distress, no longer in need to be lifted up or carried by anyone, they forgot their need for the Lord. And so they rebelled. For God is found in affliction and suffering. And when a people are filled up with every good thing, they easily become puffed up with conceit. Luther put it this way. He said, when we are secure, we naturally become puffed up and arrogant. So when I am sad, I should remember the blessings of God. But when I am happy, I should remember how dreadful life can be, so that I do not take my current state for granted. Remember your affliction, for the Lord always remains on the side of the afflicted, those who are in unbearable times. He taught this way, the way, to the Apostle Paul. He taught him all that he must suffer for his name's sake, taught him the way of desperate need, the way of a cross. Paul knew the way of affliction. He writes, in harder labor, in more imprisonments, in worse beatings, in frequent danger of death, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. In my frequent journeys, I've been in danger from rivers and from bandits, in danger from my countrymen and from the Gentiles, in danger in the city and in the country, in danger on the sea and among false brothers, in labor and toil, often without sleep, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from these external trials, I face the daily pressure of my concern and anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who's led into sin? Do I not burn with grief? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weaknesses, my afflictions. Paul knew the way of being brought low. He knew the way of the chains of prison. He knew the same affliction that he inflicted upon so many others. He knew the way of the affliction of his Lord. He says, be patient with me. I bear in my body the stigmata of the Lord, the wounds of Christ. Paul knew the way of being hungry. He knew the way to abound. And so he says, in any and every circumstance, he could do it all through Christ who strengthened him. Because in all of his afflictions, Jesus was with him. For Jesus not only suffers with you, but in your rebellion, he suffered for you. Isaiah sings, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. Why would God send his one and only son to die on a cross for a rebellious people? Who take God's love and compassion and undying loyalty and yet rebel again and again and again, forgetting their Lord and becoming puffed up with conceit. Isaiah sings, you led your people this way to make yourself a glorious name. The Lord's name must be hallowed. I will show you all that you must suffer for my name's sake, Jesus says to Paul. Hallowed be thy name. His name is holy. The Lord's name is glorious. And he will make it so. He makes it so through suffering and affliction, through crosses and trials. His name that was placed upon you in the waters of your holy baptism. For Isaiah sings, they are now surely my people. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so, in placing the divine name upon you, he became your Savior, your fellow sufferer, your iniquity bearer, your affliction conqueror. Like Saul, you have been given a new name, but not just any name. The name that is above every name is on you. And God will protect that name at all costs. He will glorify it. He will hallow it. He will make for himself a glorious name. Amen.